and they were coming to take me away. But a voice from heaven was heard that said, let him go and take me instead. Son took my place, the crown of thorns, the spear deep in his side, and the pain, it should have been mine. The rusty nails were meant for me, yet Christ took them, and he led me.
Open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Thank God that Jesus did take our place. We'll let the stragglers get seated upstairs. These are those that got out of the choir and had to go to the bathroom, had to get a drink of water, and Luke chapter 17. The Bible says in verse number 20, stand out of love and respect for God's word. Thank you, Brother Laster, for that song. And thank God for the wonderful truth about which he sang. The Bible says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Now I'm reading in verse 21 now. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part of under heaven shineth under or unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it is written, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. I want you to notice verse number 30 for our text verse this morning. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. I've read to you a portion of Scripture giving us insight into the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I want to speak to you concerning five lessons that we are taught from this passage about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I ask for your blessing upon this service today. Would you forgive us our sins? Would you fill this preacher that he might stand here with the anointing of God to preach the Word of God? And would you open the ears of the congregation and give us Spirit-directed hearing that we might hear the message and you might direct it to our heart according to its need? Thank you, dear God, for loving us. Thank you for not throwing us away. You had every right to open up the earth and swallow us up into hell because of our sin and our wickedness. But you tell us while we were yet sinners, you loved us, and Christ died for us. Thank you, Father, that we can know what it is to be saved in this life. We can know what it is to have peace with God and the direction of God and the blessings of God on our life. And thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can know that there's a better day coming because Jesus is coming back one day for the saved. I'm asking you today to save every unsaved person listening to my voice. Lord, I pray in this auditorium and over the airways, you will speak to hearts. You'll bring conviction upon those without Christ that they are lost and on their way to hell and in need of the Savior. Save them today. I pray, dear God, that you would draw your children to a closer walk with you. I'm afraid that there has been a growing indifference and unconcern among many in our church. Lord, we have needs of workers and people aren't willing to serve. We have needs in our bus ministry for drivers and they have other things that they want to do other than be a blessing and be a help in that area. I pray you would lay on the hearts of some today to give themselves to you and say, Lord, here am I, use me. I'll be that backup driver. Lord, we've got 9 bus routes and 1 backup driver. We need help. You tell us to come to the Lord of the harvest in prayer that you might send forth laborers into your harvest. And we're asking you to work on the hearts of people. I know there's people here that could and should if they would. So Holy Spirit of God, may they hear your voice today and yield themselves to you. I need your help this morning, and I thank you in advance for all you shall do in these services. Thank you for your special blessings on this day to this preacher. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Bible says, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The Bible tells us that Jesus is coming again. The Word of God is a book about prophecy and its fulfillment. Beginning in Genesis chapter 3 and on, there are hundreds of prophecies that have already been made, and almost every one of them have already been fulfilled. The few prophecies and the main prophecies that have not been fulfilled yet are the prophecies concerning the coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible actually speaks much about Christ's coming. Many have said that the Bible says more about Christ's coming again than it does the first coming of Jesus. The Bible is God's word, God's letter to us. It's God's information book. It's God's direction book. It is the final rule of authority in all matters of faith and practice. Anything God wants us to know about getting right and serving Him and living for Him and what's going to happen in the future and why things happened in the past are revealed to us in the Word of God. Yet, there's a great ignorance in our country among people about the Bible in regards to the Bible and the wonderful truths that it proclaims. In our day, the light of religion shines brightly. But the light of true New Testament Christianity is very dim. Amen. America today is more pagan in 2006 than she is Christian. People in our nation are ignorant about the Word of God. They are ignorant. They don't know the difference between Islam and Christianity and think they're both the same with just a different name. What ignorance! People are ignorant about salvation, how to get saved and know you're saved. People are ignorant about the second coming. And yet in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, speaking in reference to the second coming of Christ, Paul said, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. Allow me to give you a brief outline of events that will come to pass during this time as we near the end of this age and look for and welcome the second coming of Jesus Christ. Right now, at this time in history, we're in the church age. It's a time when Christ has established His church, and we are to be saved and baptized. We're to be a part of His church, and as a church, our main job is to evangelize the world. That is, getting people saved and baptized and ready for eternity. The church age will end at the beginning of the second coming when Christ comes back for the saved. That's known as the rapture in the Bible. The Bible says it'll occur in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Christ will come. That's the next event on God's calendar of prophecy. He could come at any minute. I believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ, which means there is nothing in the Word of God that must be fulfilled preventing Him from coming today. His coming is so near, He's at the door, the Bible says, waiting for the Father to say, go get your bride. So the rapture is the next event on God's calendar of prophecy. After the rapture, or at the rapture, all of the saved will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Those who have died and are saved will be raised from the grave. They'll be given a new body, an incorruptible body, and they'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air first. And we which are alive and remain who are saved will be given a new body, and we too will be raptured up to meet the Lord in the air and forever be with the Lord. Now when that takes place, all of the saved have been caught out of this world. That will open the door for the hater of Christ, the Antichrist, the enemy of Christ, to come and begin to rule and reign. He'll take his place and be recognized as the world leader. They'll think he's the Savior. But he is the Antichrist. He is Satan incarnate in human flesh. And during that next 7-year period, a time of tribulation will take place on this earth where things will happen that have never happened before, that are beyond man's imagination. It's 7 years of tribulation. So terrible will that time be that a fourth of the people of the earth will be killed at one time. A third of the green grass and green trees will be burned at one time. Oh, hailstones, 50, 75, 85 pounds will fall during that time, not counting the Antichrist and his hatred for the nation of Israel and the people of God. At the end of the tribulation, the Lord will come back with his saints. This is called the Revelation. He'll come back on a white horse. And the saints will be on white horses, and he'll come back to meet the Antichrist and the false prophet in the Battle of Megiddo with their armies at the Battle of Armageddon. Bible says blood will run bridle deep in that valley. The Lord will slay them all with the power of his sword, the word of God that proceedeth out of his mouth. And old Satan will be bound and cast into the bottomless pit. And Christ will rule on this earth for 1,000 years. And the saved will rule with him. At the end of the 1,000 years, the Bible says Satan will be released for a short period. He'll go out and deceive those that were born during the millennial reign. Many of them will rebel against God and follow him. And what is known as the Battle of Gog and Magog will take place, which simply means God's going to send fire out of heaven and they're going to be destroyed that quick. And Satan will be cast into the lake of fire forever and forever. At this time, the great white throne judgment will take place when all of the unsaved of all ages will stand before God and be judged according to the life they lived and the actions of their life. Every person that will stand at the great white throne judgment will be an unsaved person. And after that judgment, they will be taken and cast into the lake of fire forever and forever. Now that's what's going to come. But the next event is the coming of Jesus for the saved. And the question you ought to ponder this morning is this: am I ready? If Jesus should come today, would I be one of those that are caught up to meet him in the clouds? Have I been born again? Am I saved? There's not one chance in 10 billion you'll be a part of the rapture if you've never accepted Christ as Savior. You must be born again. Now allow me to give you 4 simple facts about the second coming of Jesus Christ. First of all, at the time of the second coming of Christ, most people will be completely indifferent to the Word of God. That's what the Bible teaches. Look at verse 26 and 27 that we've just read. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and they drank and they married wives and were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. They'll be ignorant and indifferent to the Word of God shortly before Jesus comes again. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. See, the people went on with life as usual, ignoring God's warning, ignoring the coming judgment, ignoring their need of getting right with God. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating and marrying and drinking the right stuff. There's nothing wrong with it. But these people were absorbed in living life here with no thought of eternity, and they ignored the preaching of Noah. Noah preached to them for 120 years. He preached righteousness. He preached coming judgment. But they ignored it. They were indifferent to him. They called him a fool, a Bible thumper, a fanatic. Old Preacher Joe, Preacher Noah. They mocked him, made fun of him. They were indifferent to the Word of God. And he said, in the days before the coming of the Son of Man, people will be indifferent to the Word of God today also. They'll hear Bible preaching and ignore it. They'll have a Bible in their house but never read it or never heed it. Indifferent to the Word of God. The main focus on their life was self. Pleasure and profit. Entertainment, popularity, making money. They were going on with life as usual with no thought of Jesus Christ. I wonder how many of you this week went through your life going about your business, going about your job, and never thought about your need of Jesus. Never thought about praying, never thought about the Bible, never thought about living for Him. Never thought about His will for your life. I mean, I can't believe people who are saved and say they love God and are a member of a church will see a need in the church and will not yield themselves to meet that need. It's a shame we have to beg for bus workers. It's a shame we have to plead for Sunday school teachers. Something's wrong when we are so caught up in our life as Christians, we do nothing in the church. And when there's something we could do, we're indifferent to the need. At the time of the second coming, people will be indifferent to the Word of God and the will of God. They're living for profit and pleasure. They'd rather let people die and go to hell so they can watch a football game. They're not serving God. They're indifferent to the need around them. As in Noah's day, people will ignore the plain Bible preaching of the Word of God. In fact, they don't want it. They don't want it. They don't want to hear it. People don't want to hear the Word of God today. They want a positive message. You know what the Bible calls that? Have their ears tickled. Have their ears tickled. We have been saddlebackized. Indifferent to the Word of God. Noah preached righteousness, but they ignored it. They ignored the warnings, and when the rain started coming down, it was too late. Because God had already put Noah and his family, those that were ready, in the ark, and God shut the door. In Matthew 25, Jesus illustrates what it's going to be like when He comes, and He tells the story of the 10 virgins. 5 of them were foolish, pretending to be ready for the bridegroom, and only 5 of the 10 were really ready. When the bridegroom came, they went in unto him, and the door was shut. They begged, they knocked on that door, but he said, no, it's too late. The door's shut. See, when God shuts the door, no man can open it. There's coming a day when the door of salvation is going to be shut. There's coming a day when you'll not have another invitation. You'll not have another opportunity. It'll be too late to get saved. Now is the time we're to respond to the invitation. Now's the time we're to get our life right with God. Now's the time we're to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Verse 28 and 29 says, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat and they drank and they bought and they sold and they planted and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man cometh. In the days of Lot, the people ignored God's warning until Lot was delivered out of Sodom, and then God rained judgment down upon the cities. God put this in the Bible to warn me and you. God is saying you'd better make up wake up and listen to what I'm saying. This is the time to heed my word. This is the time to get ready. When the rapture comes, when Jesus comes, it's too late then. Nobody's going to have an opportunity to get ready in the last minute. As it was, so shall it be. And I'm sad to say, but there is a great reality that some sitting in this auditorium, if the rapture took place this morning, would be left behind because you're not ready. You've never been saved. You've never been born again. And then the second thing we know here is that God's children, the saved, will be delivered from the judgment. God's children, all of the saved, will be delivered from the judgment to come. Look at verse number 27 again. They did eat, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the floods came and destroyed them all. Verse number 27, Noah and his family went into the ark. And when the floods came, they were lifted up above the judgment waters. They were safe in the ark. May I say to you, Jesus Christ is that ark for us. Jesus Christ is our safety. He's our salvation. He's the one who will lift us above the judgment when the judgment comes on this old wicked world. Amen. Look at verse number 29. And the same day that Lot went out of the city, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Lot was delivered from the fiery judgment before the first fiery hailstone fell. He was delivered outside of that city. May I say to you that God is teaching us that the saved will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air before the tribulation begins and the Antichrist comes to power. The question you ought to be asking yourself this morning is, am I saved? Will I be one of those that's ready when Jesus comes? If I'm not saved, how can I be saved? Well, you can call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him. You're in the right place this morning. If you'll come at invitation time, we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. We have the promise that God has provided forgiveness of sin and eternal salvation for all who will call upon Him as their Savior. Have you called upon Him? I don't know about you, but I'm depending on Jesus to forgive my sins and save my soul. I want to meet Him knowing that I've been saved, not according to what the church says, but what the Bible says. Amen. The Bible way of salvation. And the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, my dear soul, put your trust in Jesus today. Accept Him as Savior. You say, preacher, I want to, but I don't know how. You come and we'll take you aside lovingly and privately this morning and show you how you can be saved. Thirdly, God's judgment came just like He said, regardless and in spite of the unbelieving world. God's judgment came just like He said, regardless of the unbelieving world. You say, preacher, I don't like this. I don't like to preaching about it. I don't like to hear about it. Well, it's going to come whether you like it or not. You're believing it or not believing it. Your indifference to it or your adherence to it. You're yielding to God or walking out on God. It's not going to change the fact of the truth that Jesus is coming. He is coming regardless of the unbelieving world. It came as predicted by God in God's Word, just like God said. Judgment came upon those who did not heed the message and the warning from God. It came while the people were making future plans for their life. And may I say to you this morning, there is no future without Jesus. You do understand, Jesus loved us so much. He loved you so much that He came and died on that cruel cross so we could have a life and a future to look forward to.
Amen.
I don't enjoy preaching about judgment to come, but I must warn. I must warn. I don't like to be negative, but I'm positive judgment is coming. God said so. I want to help you. I want you to be ready. You think hearing a sermon on judgment today is tough? You wait till judgment comes. What'll you do then? I'm trying to help you to get ready for that day. So when that judgment comes, before it comes, you'll be called out to be with the Lord forever.
Amen.
That's our purpose. We take no joy in preaching about judgment. I'd rather preach about heaven. I'd rather preach about blessings. But oh, my job is to warn you. Do you understand Noah's message for 120 years was not something good is about to happen? For 120 years, he preached that judgment was coming.
Amen.
He wanted to save somebody. He wanted to see people get right. And I can't stand up here and tell you that without Jesus Christ, something good's about to happen. What's about to happen is going to be the most horrible thing you've ever imagined. Judgment is coming. Eternal damnation awaits those without Christ. And yet, God loved us so much, He sent His Son to die in our place and make provision that we might be saved. That's a positive message. That's a wonderful message. That is a free gift to anyone who'll accept it. We live in this day where churches don't want anything negative said. But how are they going to get saved? If they don't know about hell, they don't know about judgment, how are they going to know they need Jesus? My goodness, we can't feel good about eternity until we see ourselves as sinners, doomed and damned without hope. Once we see that and accept Christ, then we've got a life worth living and a future to look forward to. But may I say to you, judgment is coming whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, or whether you're indifferent or not. It's coming. They laughed, they mocked at old Noah, but when they got about this deep in the flood waters, I kind of imagine this thinking, you know, he was right. I wish I'd have listened. It was too late. No matter how they knocked, they begged, they clawed on the wood, they screamed, it's too late. There's going to come a day when it's too late. Jesus is coming again. And then lastly, when Jesus comes at the rapture, He'll receive His coming for the saved. His coming and gathering those out will be selective. It'll be selective. When Jesus comes, contrary to the belief of some and the teachings of some, not everybody's going to be called up to meet Him. I got a letter from a man rebuking me the other day, saying, don't you know that because Jesus died, everybody automatically is saved? He's a universalist. That's not what the Bible teaches. It teaches that everybody can be saved because Jesus died. But when Jesus comes back at the rapture, not everybody's going to be caught up. Though at His coming, He's going to be selective. He's looking for a blood mark. The blood mark of Jesus Christ. He's looking for those who have been washed from their sins by His own blood. That's the reason He could say in verse number 34, two will be in the bed, one will be taken, the other left. It's saying that not both of them were saved, and the saved was taken, the unsaved was left. It said in the workplace, there'll be two working, one will be taken, the other left. He's not saying that both of them were caught up. He's saying the saved was caught up and the unsaved left. said there's two women grinding, two working in the field. One was taken, the other left. If he should come this morning, would you be the one that's taken? You say, I don't know. You can know. Amen. If you have been born again, you can know that you know that you know that you're saved.
Amen.
You can't get saved apart from the shed blood of Jesus and faith in Christ.
Amen.
You must believe He died for your sins and rose again for your justification. If you will accept Jesus as your Savior, you can be forgiven of your sins. You can be born into the family of God. You can be saved and know that you have a part in that rapture. Now the question is, are you saved? At the rapture, only the saved will be caught up to heaven. The unsaved will be left behind to face the judgment of the tribulation and hell and the lake of fire forever. Just four simple truths I wanted to point out to you this morning. At the time of the second coming, most people will be completely indifferent to the Word of God. Secondly, God's children, the saved, will be delivered before the judgment takes place. Thirdly, God's judgment will come regardless of whether you believe or not believe, whether you're indifferent or not. And fourthly, when Jesus comes at the rapture, those He catches up at His coming will be only the saved. He'll be selective in those that are caught up to meet Him. He's looking for the saved. Only the saved will be caught up to meet Him in the clouds. The unsaved will be left behind. And it's too late. And you know the tragedy of this is Paul tells us in his letter to the Thessalonians that if you've heard the gospel and you did not receive the truth that you might be saved, and you're left at the rapture, you'll be sent strong delusion and you'll believe the lie and you'll be damned. There'll be no second chances for you after the rapture. Because now's the time.
Amen.
Now's when God is saving people.
Amen.
Now's the preparation time. Now's the getting ready time. When the rain water started coming down and the flood water started coming up, it was too late. And when the trumpet sounds and Jesus comes down in that cloud to receive us up to meet Him in the air, it'll be too late for those that are unsaved. I beg you today, if you're not saved, trust Jesus today.
Amen.
I beg you this morning, if you've never been born again, come and let us show you how to be saved and know it. I beg you, if you're a Christian and you're not serving God, get faithful today. Get right today. Begin to live for Him today. Don't put it off. You'll wish 10,000 times when Jesus comes that you had not wasted your Christian life. You'd have wished 10,000 times that you'd have been faithful to His church and a part of it. Do it while you have opportunity.
Amen.
Do it now. Heavenly Father, that's our message.